Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the host of the Raw Dog Food Truth with the fabulous, wonderful, ever so helpful in your dog's journey to be healthy is the cancer vet, Dr. Judy Jasek. That's J-A-S-E-K. Hello, Dr. Judy Jasek. How are you today?
Hi, Dee Dee. I'm doing great. I'm looking out at that beautiful Colorado blue sky today. So nice to see after a cloudy day. You know, we can't handle more than one cloudy day in Colorado.
Right?
People get really depressed. We got to see the sun.
Right. We got to have some sun. And, you know, I did a talk with Dr. Oz's wife in New York many years ago. And I was asking her about vitamin D, which is something that you love, vitamin D. But yeah. I said, so how do we get really great vitamin D? And she said, well, Mehmet, who's Dr. Oz's first name, she says, Mehmet would say, lay out in the backyard naked for 10 minutes every day. And I said, well, I don't think my neighbors would appreciate that.
I know. And as if it's winter time, that's a little challenging.
Right. Well, today we are going to talk about how to snap the heck out of it. I mean, seriously. So what we're really talking about is how to think different, because Dr. Jasek, what you and I both face on a daily basis is changing mindsets. And what we know is that our identity as people, as human beings, is wrapped up in our belief system. And so when we think about changing the way that we think, or thinking outside of the box, or saying snap yes instead of oh hell no, it's very frightening to us. And I think that we have to give people little steps. Or you can just buy my book. You can go to Amazon and get Snap Yes, which is a great book too to help you do that. But I think that if we could help people talk to their vets, because this is the Raw Dog Food Truth, and we're talking about how do we help pets be more healthy. By the way, before I go any further, I want you guys to know that Dr. Jasek has this incredible lecture webinar coming up December the 12th, 7 p.m. This is going to be on cancer, all right? Do you know that 12 million dogs and cats will be diagnosed with cancer in 2020? Will yours be one of them? Let's hope not. So Dr. Jasek is going to talk about the five leading causes of cancer in pets and what you can do to help protect and prevent it now. If you want to know more about how to sign up on that webinar, you can either go to my Facebook page, Raw Dog Food and Company, or you can just email me at dee dee at rawdogfoodandandco.com. We'll get you in on that webinar. All right. So Dr. Jasek, what would you say to our pet parents in order to help them really give the best health protocol possible when they're in the exam room with their vet? What should they do?
I think the most important thing to do is to ask questions. Why are we doing this? Because I think a lot of people, and I know that this comes back to the mindset thing. You go in, you choose your veterinarian. You go in there, you want to believe that this person is going to do the absolute best for your pet. And they most likely are going to do the absolute best that they know. But they don't know everything. None of us do. We're all learning. And practitioners, I think, often get into into trends. They do the same things over and over and over. So they do these same vaccines and they recommend these same diets. And you know, it's easy because they're busy and they're, you know, they've got a certain amount of clients to see in a day. And sometimes they're just going to take the route that they've been informed is the best. But I think sometimes practitioners don't stop to think, well, is this the best? So this is what the pharmaceutical rep or the rep from the dog food company is telling me, what's best for my patients. And this is where veterinarians get a lot of their information. I started down that road and then I realized, hey, wait a second, I'm just a pawn through these big companies. They're coming in and telling me, you know, what it, they sell you things on fear and profit. Well, if you don't use this product, this is what's going to happen to your patients. And then, oh, by the way, this is how much money you can make selling it. And that is how a lot of veterinarians make their decisions. I won't say all of them, but a lot of them. So if you question that, well, why does my pet need this vaccine? And where did you get that information? So where are they researching? Are they taking the information that the pharmaceutical rep or the pet food company rep told them and verifying that what they're telling them is true? Are they reading the inserts or looking at the MSDS sheets? MSDS sheets are the material safety data sheets that every product out there, every pharmaceutical has to have one of these. And you read them, it will scare the living daylights out of you how bad some of these products really are, because this is the nitty gritty. And some of the stuff on those sheets doesn't even show up on the package insert because they hide some of this information. So I think you have to ask questions of your veterinarian as to why they are making the recommendations that they're making.
Well, and then let's ask the next question. The next question would be, all right, give me the pros. Now give me the cons. Because one of the things that I have heard over and over from my pet parents when I've asked, did your vet, and I said this on the last podcast, I think, did your vet explain to you the risks associated with a lepto vaccine? No, they didn't. They don't know to ask. And I think one of the things that we always want to ask, yes, where'd you get this information? I'm thinking that your vet's going to be taken back by that. They'll be like, I don't know. Where did I get that information? But the second thing is, what are the pros and what are the cons? And then Dr. JC, don't you think that maybe our pet parents should take some time to think about it before they progress on with maybe this protocol that's being suggested?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they should think. I think they should, you know, do their own research, be informed themselves. Because I think it's easy to just say, it's an kind of an easy out to say, well, this isn't like that recommended. And again, ask those questions. And you know, another thing, if your vet doesn't like that, and I think people are hesitant to question their practitioners, I think a good practitioner, a practitioner that really has your pet's best interests at heart, will embrace those questions. Because if somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to, I'm going to tell them, wow, that's a really great question, and I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And that's what you should be hearing. Because it's okay if they don't know everything. But if you challenge them on something, they should be willing to get that answer. They should want to know that answer. And if they just get defensive and poo-poo your question, or, you know, skip over it or change the subject or whatever dodging technique they choose to use, they're not interested in snapping to it. They're not interested in changing their mindset about that. They want to give your dog the shot and move on because they're busy, and you need to find a different vet if that happens. You want a veterinarian that's curious, and you challenge them with questions, and they're going to say, you know, I don't know, but let me look into that and I will get back with you. And they should get back with you And you should do your own research. And that just believe what you hear, and even what your veterinarian says. I love when my clients tell me that, you know, this is all really good information, but I'm going to go back and do some of my own research. I'm like, fabulous. It doesn't threaten me. I love working with people like that because they're engaged and they're curious and they want the best for their pet, and they're not just going to believe me. They want to go out and they want to find that information on their own. And that's the type of practitioner you want to be working with. So I think it's a mindset shift on the part of the veterinarian and on the pet parent. You have to take some accountability, and you have to advocate for your pets, and you need to feel empowered to, you know, to take that control. You're the one really that should be in control of your pet's health, and your veterinarian should be more of a guide in that process.
You know, we doing what we do, we ask a ton of questions, right? And we are digging and digging with all of our pet parents when they come to us, because most of the time when people come to me, they're going to ask me about the food. And we've talked about this so many times. Mm-hmm. So has anything changed in the food? Because my dog, blah, 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 blah. And I have to ask a million questions to get down to the facts that this dog has just gone through a round of vaccines. This dog is eating greenies. This dog is eating peanut butter and a Kong. This dog is, you know, there's so many things. And I just, it's beyond me that our pet parents don't recognize that vaccines are highly, have a lot of toxins in them, and that they don't associate that with problems with skin or digestive issues. And we associate vaccines with great health. We associate vaccines with safety. We associate vaccines with something that's going to give my dog a leg up on life. So this is really something, a mind shift. What would you say about that thought that I just said, all those things about vaccine? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. They've become a crutch. I heard one time way back when I was really starting to make a strong shift into how I or practicing differently myself from a more holistic and, you know, what does the body really need to heal approach. And I thought, you know, these pharmaceutical companies want us to become vaccinarians because the vaccine is the premise for health. That's what they, it's not. I mean, it's not. That's what they want us to believe, that the more vaccines you give your pet, you're going to be protecting them against all of these diseases. And this is the very best that we can do. And the vaccines are absolutely dangerous. They are disruptive to the immune system, especially if we pump puppies full of them. They get so many, and then we wonder why they're itching for the rest of their life. It's because we have just wiped out their normal immune response. The body doesn't know what it's supposed to be, you know, reacting to and not. So it reacts to everything. It's just like chronically inflamed, and they are toxic. There are preservatives. There's heavy metals in most vaccines. They are far from benign, and you know, you can, I do titer tests. I will take puppies that have had only one vaccine and do titers, and the majority, probably 85% of those puppies will have a good immunity, and that immunity lasts. They don't even need boosters. I don't actually think they even need vaccines. I mean, if I was to get a puppy tomorrow, I probably would not vaccinate it. I would be careful about where I took it. I mean, you have to be aware of that, but I would work on building a strong immune system. And I think in most cases, what we don't look at is that, so we feel like, okay, I went into the vet, they listened to the heart and lungs, gave the vaccines, my pet's good. And nothing could be further from the truth. You have to work at making your pet healthy. I think the approach of minimizing vaccines and working on building a healthy immune system, because the immune system is there to help the pet eliminate disease from the body. That's its job, and it's completely capable of doing that, but that just gets ignored in veterinary medicine. Well, we just get more and more and more vaccines and the pet's going to be healthy. Well, just look at what's going on in pet health. Pets are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. They're saying up to now 2 out of 3 dogs are going to be getting cancer. And on this, I'm watching a webinar series on cancer. There's a veterinarian on there that diagnosed a 13-week-old puppy with cancer, this mast cell disease. I mean, come on. Like, we got to be doing something. So if all these vaccines and all these prescription diets are so wonderful, why are our pets getting sicker? I mean, it's logical to me that we got to be looking at how to do things differently. And we need to be changing our mindsets and how we look at medicine and how we look at health. You know, what is health? Health is not pumping vaccines into pets. It's saying, look, this animal has a complete functioning, healthy immune system that may not be healthy, but we can support the health of that immune system and we can make that immune system healthy. And that's what the dog needs or cat needs to fight disease, not all these vaccines. So we really do need to start looking at health and healing differently, because our pets are suffering. Our pets are suffering with the way things are currently being done. And it has to change, because it's getting worse. We have, you know, I look at my career, 30 plus years of being a veterinarian, and all the advances are amazing. I mean, when I first started, we didn't have like ultrasound available. We had to do exploratory surgeries. If we thought a dog maybe swallowed something, maybe had an intestinal blockage, we couldn't see something on x-rays, we had to open them up and look. We didn't have ultrasound. I mean, we have all this technology, all these technological advances, and our pets are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So, hello. I mean, if that doesn't speak to the need for a different way of looking at things, I don't know what does.
Well, here's what I see very often is we just think the mindset is, oh, my dog got cancer. Dogs just get cancer. We don't say, why? Why? What might have contributed to this? You know, there was a great speaker out on the circuit as well. And one of his platforms, was start with why. And I think that we need to start with why in the health of our pets. Why? What is causing this? And look at everything. The first thing that people look at is the food. Okay. I get it. If you're feeding highly processed, or an HPP product, that is sterile, that has no, you know, real enzymes, that's possibly lacking in fat and organs. So because we have a lot of people that come over from a fresh pet or a commercial raw that is high pressure pasteurized. And I want to tell you guys that information is very well hidden. It's written in a way that says, we're doing everything that we can to protect your pets. You get all the benefits without the risk. Baloney. So if you see that in the advertisement, you know that that is a highly processed, high pressure pasteurized product, which Raw Dog Food Company does not sell. But I think that we just assume a cancer just appears. I mean, you know, just one of those things that happens. And that is not the case. Now, we're not saying this to make you feel bad, because Dr. Jasek and I were talking prior to coming on the podcast about, you know, that asking questions can bring people to tears sometimes, because some of our pet parents think, oh my gosh, I did this and I didn't know any better. That's not our intent. Our intent is to help you make the best decisions you can right now. to give you those big balls of courage, those big bison balls of courage that you need to ask the questions. And why is it that you think that you don't have the right to ask someone that you are paying? You are paying your veterinarian to take care of your pet. So why is it that you think that you don't have the right to ask the tough questions? You got to snap out of it. You have the right. You're paying money. Here's my money. I'm paying you for a service. If I'm paying you for a service, I have the right to ask you questions. Right, Dr. Jasek?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You absolutely have the right to ask. And like I said before, your veterinarian is resistant to that. There's lots of vets out there. Go find a different one, because they absolutely should embrace your questions. And you absolutely have, have the right to do that. I wanted to comment too on you know, what you said about finding the cause of disease. That's why this webinar that I'm doing is the 5 leading causes of cancer. Because if we don't look at the cause and we just target what we see, so hey, your dog has a tumor. Okay, if we just attack that and address that and cut it off or do chemo radiation, then we don't look at where did this come from in the first place. Do you think it's not going to come back? You know, of course it is, because we didn't correct what caused it in the first place. And these are sometimes hard things. They're a little inconvenient. EMF, big contributor, right? We all love our screens and our devices, but it's a big disruptor for metabolism. It's toxic to the mitochondria. And if your dog is sleeping next to your router or next to your computer, your dog has a greatly increased risk of getting cancer. So we need to look at these things. You know, I think it's not always easy. It could be a little inconvenient to do what's right. So it's easy to believe that, okay, this 30-minute visit into the vet with this vaccine and this bag of food I came home with, I'm good to go. Yeah, it's easy, it's convenient, but you're fooling yourself. You have to really take a look at where does disease come from? What's being disrupted in the body? You know, disease is dis-ease in the body. Something is not right. Something is out of balance. And that's what we have to be correcting. And if you don't get down, it's like I heard this analogy once that say you have mold growing in your basement because you've got a wall that's damp or something, got moisture down there. Well, you can go and eliminate all the mold. You can spray it with Clorox or whatever. But if you don't correct what's creating that dampness, creating that environment for the mold to grow, is it going to be back in a year? Of course it is. You're going to have the same perpetual thing. So you need to get down to the root cause. And that's why we ask questions. That's why, Dee Dee, you said when you have somebody come to you that has this issue with your pet, you ask a lot of questions. And the reason those questions are important is we have to have the whole picture. And it's not about telling you that you're wrong or that you're doing something bad. We know you want the best for your pet. And we've all had pets. Dee Dee has pets. I have pets. We know how attached you get and how much you want the best for them. And the questions that we ask of you are just to determine, okay, for us to help you the best, we have to know the whole picture. And we're not going to make you wrong or tell you that you're a bad parent, bad pet parent. You're doing what you believe is best for your pet. We want to help you do better going forward. You can't go back and undo medications, undo vaccines that have been given, but we can certainly take a look at what can we do better going forward. And that's what I think we need to be looking at and save the guilt trip and put your energy towards what can we do better going forward for our pets. And let's all, you know, let's all learn together. Let's get together and start to figure some of this out. And I think the best way to do that is by asking questions, because that's how I learn. Okay, I've got this pet with these symptoms, and the more information I get about what's been going on with that pet, it helps me connect the dots so I can say, okay, maybe these things are not so great. Maybe this is a contributing factor. So let's make some changes going forward. But it's never about trying to make anybody feel bad or feel guilty. We know you want the best for your pet.
Yeah, and I do think that people get sometimes offended because we are asking so many questions. But again, we don't have the whole picture. So if you're coming and you're saying, hey, you know, my dog, and you're asking about the food, because typically that's why you're going to contact me, right? I've yet to find that it really is the food. It's all these other contributing factors, but we need to know all of it. I need to put together just a questionnaire, you know, just so you can go ahead and fill that out. But we got to know about what vaccines, what treats, you know, what stuff. It's really amazing to me how many different things that people put in a dog's body, and yet you look at the food. I want to say this too, Dr. Jason, that there's a mindset that I've seen from many of my pet parents, and I've heard this at least three times this week. When I've asked these questions about what is your dog eating, what supplements are you putting in, what vaccines, what this, what that, one of the responses that I always get from mostly supplements, okay, or kefir or this or that, is that people will say, but they've always had that and they've never had a problem with that. They've been on this for years. And I say, well, that doesn't mean that it's advantageous for them now. But there's a mindset that says, I've always given this supplement. They've never had a problem with it. My dog's having some type of issue right now, so it can't be that supplement. I don't believe that. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I think we have to look at all the things, and even if a dog, let's say a dog's been on something for a long time, how do you know that that thing that you've been giving your dog has not been causing low grade chronic inflammation for 5 years? And now that the dog is getting a little older and its body is having a little harder time staying balanced, it's now manifest, because this can happen. You know, people, like in people that are a little bit gluten sensitive, you know, I didn't realize I was gluten sensitive until I was in like my late 30s. I just didn't know why I felt crappy almost every time I ate. You know, I had to figure that out. You know, I've been eating gluten for a long time, and that was the issue. I took that on my diet and I felt a whole lot better. And I think these conditions can be low grade and insidious, and they just don't, it's not like you give something one time and if your dog's going to react to it, react right then and there. It can cause low-grade chronic inflammation. That's why you feed your dog a crappy kibble diet. Well, it may not get cancer till it's 5 years old, but it's still because of the food, you know, or the food's a contributing factor. It just took that long for the body to say, okay, I give. I can't do this anymore. I can't manage this, you know, this degree of inflammation. I think the other super important thing to look at is products change. So mm-hmm. I don't care whether it's your kefir or whether it's a supplement. I mean, you need to, first of all, read labels. Well, I think on everything you buy all the time, I do, because it changes. Especially if you're giving a supplement that has multiple ingredients, they will change those ingredients. And worse, they will change the sourcing of those ingredients and you won't even know. So it's absolutely true that you could be feeding the same supplement for 5 years and that supplement could have changed 20 times because they're looking at prices. You know, Dee Dee, you know, you're in the, you know, about sourcing things and all that. I mean, they're going to go with cheaper sourcing if they can, and they don't have to reveal that on the label. So those products, that product you're giving now, could very likely be very different than that product with the same label that you started giving 5 years ago. It's not the same thing. And, you know, pet bodies change too. I mean, we don't eat and drink all the same stuff that we did 20 years ago. You know, we have to listen to what our bodies need as they age and as they change. So yeah, I would agree that just because something's been given for a long time, absolutely does not mean that it couldn't be contributing. And how do we know? Well, you stop giving it. You don't have to debate it. Just take them off of it for 2 weeks. If it's a supplement or just something you're adding into the diet, there's going to be absolutely no harm in eliminating it for a couple of weeks and just see what you notice. And a lot of times, you know, that'll be the answer, you know, whether or not that's a contributing factor. You'll have it, you know, proved out right then and there. I do that all the time when I see a pet with chronic inflammation. Don't really know where it's coming from, but we've got supplements, herbs, and stuff. I'll take them off of everything, unless there's some medical reason they need to be on something. But I'll just take them off of everything for a couple of weeks. Let's get a new baseline and then slowly start to add things back in and see how the pet reacts. Because I think that's how we can figure it out.
Yeah, I had one of my sweet customers, and I love this guy. But he came into the warehouse last week carrying a bag. I said, "What's in your bag?" He said, "Vomit." I said, "Vomit?" I said, "Do you think you can analyze this vomit?" I said, "I think you can take that vomit right outside and put it in the trash." And I had a laugh with him, but I said, so it was one of the products. And he said, "Well, I think there's something wrong with this." I said, "Tell me everything." And there were so many things going into this pet's body. And I said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you off of that, but you're going to get off of everything." And I said, hold your hand up. I will follow Dee Dee's instructions. And I said, "You got to get off everything. Get off that supplement, that supplement, that supplement, that coconut oil, that banana, that, because I don't know what is going on." And it was like trying to pry his cold, dead hands off of a supplement. "I've been given this supplement forever. She's never reacted to a supplement." I said, "I don't care. Either you want my advice, you came in here. No, I'm not going to analyze your vomit. No, it's, I'm not a vomit reader like a tea reader." Okay. And so he did. And I said, "Look, this is what Dr. Judy is. She's going to get it down to the bare minimum. Bare minimum, pull them off of everything." And it was so funny because the dog stopped vomiting. And okay,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. And he was like, "Well, when can I add all this back in?" And I said, "First of all, I don't believe that you need all of that every single day. You don't need, it's not, you guys, you cannot make your dogs, you know, like Teflon by just throwing the kitchen sink at them. You can't, I mean, this is not the way it works." And I really like the idea of, if you're going to do a probiotic or a pre and probiotic, you need to change those up. For instance, you know, we've got the love bugs, we've got the phytoflora, and we got the healthy gut. All of those have pre and probiotics in them. So I would take a look and say, "Well, I've finished one jar of probiotics. Now let me go over to this other that has a little bit different strain." I'm not a proponent of keeping a dog on the exact same thing all the time, or people, you know. I think we need to change it up. And I think there's valid reasons for that. There's different things in it. I think the body can become very efficient at using less, stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or it gets used to it and it doesn't use it as efficiently. It becomes very efficient at using it efficiently, if you want to say it that way. But here's something that I wanted to point out to your point where you said that products change and that companies try to lower their costs. So our Bison products and our Bison supplier, great Bison products, by the way, was supplying a huge dog food manufacturer, commercial dog food manufacturer with Bison. He got a call the other day and they said, yeah, we're going to not be putting Bison in our commercial dog food anymore. And I asked him, which was a huge account, by the way, which I asked him, why? What happened? And he said, well, what happened was what they were really doing was adding in water buffalo and calling it Bison. And now there is a law that says if it is water buffalo, which is coming from third world countries, okay, water buffalo, you have to designate it as water buffalo. You cannot say it is bison, all right? So they're putting large amounts of low quality water buffalo and smaller amounts of bison and calling it bison. So since they were getting called out on it, they just have taken it out because real bison, the bison like what we have, is expensive. It's not cheap like the water buffalo that's coming over from India or all those other places. So this is something that's happening. If you see water buffalo, it is not the same as bison, okay? It's not the same. So anyway, that's a very, very good point that you had there. And it's very valid. And I saw it with my own two eyes. So.
I wanted to say too, you know, just to echo on what you were saying about not doing the same thing every day. I think that's really important and that's valid. So even if like I do start a pet on some supplements, herbs that I think are appropriate, if we're doing like more than two, I will almost always tell people to rotate through them. We don't give the same thing every day because I mean, so who decided that, you know, we start a pet on a given supplement and it needs to be given every 24 hours? Why can't we give it every 48 hours? You know, I mean, usually that's from the company that they want you, they're going to tell you to do it two or three times a day because they want to sell more. You know, they can, if they decide that that's probably safe to recommend giving something two or three times a day, well, they're going to do that because then they sell more product. But even if we're giving something every 48 hours, maybe even every 72 hours, the pet's still getting the benefit of that. You know, some things we want to give every day, and it depends on the pet and the conditions and all that. There's lots of variables, but we don't have to give everything every day. And I think mixing it up, it keeps the body kind of tuned in. It's like what you were saying, Dee Dee. You give the body like, oh, I got this today. Oh, I got this. Now, you know, the next day the body's going to get a little different tool. I look at it, we're giving the body different tools. Oh, I've got this tool today. I'm going to use this. And then the next day, oh, I got a different tool. So the body is always needing to kind of be aware of what's coming into it. It keeps things kind of tuned up. Because I think the body does become complacent if you're doing the exact same thing day after day after day. The systems in the body, you know, kind of go to sleep, you know. And all of these things, and like with this customer that you were just talking about, with the bag of vomit, that's just classic. But there's a tendency to add things in over time. So you started out, you know, 5 years ago with one or two supplements, and then you read something online. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to add that in. And then, you know, 6 months later, you add something else in. So now instead of giving one or two things, we're giving 8 or 10. The body still has to process all that stuff. You know, it has to go somewhere. You're making the liver and kidneys and these organs of elimination work to eliminate all of those things. So giving all of that stuff, and you look at a supplement, there's a lot of supplements that will have 10, 15, 20 different in Greece is mind-boggling to me. You'll pick up a supplement for, you know, X condition, and it'll have so many different things in it. So then you multiply that by 8 or 10, you know, supplements. You could be giving your pet 100 different ingredients in a day. That's too much to expect the body to manage.
And we're talking about mindset. And here's what I see a lot of times, Dr. Jasek, is one of the reasons that people get or go down this path is because they've had a dog die and they don't want to have another dog die, or they had a dog that was diagnosed with cancer. So now we swing totally the other way on the pendulum and we're trying to give everything to the dog. So I think we have to really be aware of the way that we think, what pushes our buttons. Okay. And look, advertisers know what pushes your buttons. That's the way they get you to buy their stuff, right?
Absolutely.
But, and that's what I said to one of my customers the other day. I said, listen, I said, if I just was a little bit more narcissistic and a little more shysterish, whatever the word is, if I was more of a shyster, I could get my pet parents to buy every supplement, every different thing I have out there. I said, but that's not my personality. My personality is I want the best for your pet, or I wouldn't be in this business. Because believe me, this is not an easy business to be in. And I've often said to my niece, who thinks she wants to be a vet, I said, listen, honey, you need to go talk to the vets that I work with, like Dr. Jasek, or, you know, and really see what this is about. Because this is really a people business, not a pet business. Because we're dealing with the parents, because the parents have to okay the treatments. They have to okay the finances. And I'm sure that it's very frustrating to you, Dr. Jasek, when you're like, look, I get it. This does cost money to have this test run, but this is an important test. And some pet parents don't want to do those tests. So your hands are tied in some ways. We hear that from, you know, our daughter a lot of the time. But I don't know, I got off on a tangent there, but I'm just thinking that we have to really look at the way that we think. We believe that whatever we believe is the truth. That's just the way the mind works. But we never really step back and say, why do I believe this? Where did I get this belief? Is this my belief, or is this a belief that has been presented to me that I just accept it as true? You know, it's all of that. Beliefs are really a weird thing. And you know, as I've given so many talks on how to change our beliefs and how to get out of the box and how to think differently, the thing that I've noticed the most is that the reason that we don't question our beliefs is because it takes so much time. It really does. And it takes someone else also, I think, to bounce those beliefs off of and bounce our thoughts off of. But we don't like to do things that take a lot of time. That's why our brains are great at helping us concoct shortcuts, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, that thing on beliefs reminds me of that little story or parable that I heard once about, you know, a woman is cooking a piece of meat on her stove, and she cuts the end off of it. And her husband says, why'd you cut the end off that piece of meat? She says, well, I don't know. That's what my mom always did. And so she got curious and she went back and asked her mom, like, why do you always cut the end off the piece of meat when you cook it? And she says, I don't know. That's what my mom always did. And so she goes to her grandma and says, why do you always cut the end off the piece of meat? She says, well, I used to have this pan that was shaped such that the piece of meat would never fit in there unless I cut the end off of it. So it's like things get perpetuated where people don't even know. They just get on autopilot and do things that, and they don't even really know why until they step back or somebody questions. This goes back to asking questions. Why am I doing this? And why is this appropriate? We need to get out of autopilot and engage our brain cells. We have the ability to do that. And that is where we're going to make a change and make the shift that's just so important for our pets.
Yeah, we have to really be conscious. Really be conscious. And I think that's tough. And the way that our society is moving, we are very unconscious. We're getting, I wanted to say this to you earlier when you said convenience. And this new slogan, I did a podcast with Neely the other day, and I said, here's one of my newest slogans, convenience kills. Convenience kills. And it, and if you look at it, it kills on many, many levels. You know, where we are now today, ordering from our cell phones, you know, Cyber Monday just happened, Cyber Friday. And basically, we don't have to leave our house. It's so convenient that we're killing our relationships. We're killing our ability to deal with society because of convenience. It's everywhere. And I think that that's not going to stop. The world is going to continue to go that way. So it's not even how do we, you know, stop that. It's how do we deal with life being so convenient, all of these things making right. life so convenient. There is a cost to that. There is a cost to that. And so we want you to think differently. Before we go today, I do want to ask you a question that one of our pet parents had talked to me about the other day. And this was zinc deficiency. Now, if you test your pet, and your pet has a zinc deficiency, I don't know that you need to give a synthetic zinc. Because Dr. Jessica, if you really look at all the different foods that have zinc in it, and zinc is a trace mineral, right? We don't need a whole lot of zinc. But if you look at the foods that have zinc in it, my gosh, it's everything that's basically in the raw diet. I mean, it's... You know, it's eggs, it's beef, it's buffalo, it's turkey, it's fish, it's rabbit, it's pork, it's lamb, eggs. So what would you say if your dog is not showing any symptoms of a zinc deficiency, okay, and there's lots of them, digestive issues, crusty, you know, nose, all that kind of stuff. But would you actually give a synthetic zinc? Just because?
You know, I think, yeah, I would, well, there would be some questions I would ask back to the question thing. One, where was the test run and where did they get the normals? You know, we were talking about that, and I think we're going to expand on this topic in a future podcast about some testing methods and where are they getting the normals and who decides, you know, what is normal, and, you know, what is that based on, and what were those pets eating? And, you know, there's a lot of questions around how valid is the test. And then the next question is, well, what is the pet currently eating? You know, if we can improve nutritionally, like you were saying, fresh food, zinc's a trace mineral. We don't need to be giving a lot of it, and we don't want to give too much either, because, you know, these, a lot of these trace minerals, you can get into a toxicity situation if you over-supplement. And use a synthetic supplement, you don't ever know how well the body can absorb that, assimilate it, if it even does any good. Because it's a chemical, it's a synthetic. It's not in a form that the body was meant to take these products in. So when you know, if you start to give a larger variety of the animal products that naturally have zinc, you are probably going to, going to get that level up. And I agree, with no symptoms, I probably would not supplement. I would take a look at the diet. Now, the other possibility is that there is a digestive issue with absorption. And there's a test that we can do to test for this. We can test for certain things in the blood that test for how well they're absorbing. They usually do a B vitamin test, some things that are typically very easily absorbed from the digestive tract. And if those levels are not high enough, then we suspect some sort of malabsorption. But honestly, that's kind of a zebra. Like, that can happen. So we keep that, you know, in the back of our mind. But that's that's more rare than just needing to give the zinc in a form that is easy to assimilate in a natural form that dogs are meant to take that in. The other thing too is I would ask, okay, so this dog was tested for zinc. Was it tested for anything else? Because if it's deficient in zinc and it's a nutrition issue, probably deficient in other things as well. And we really need to be looking at the diet to get all of these trace minerals back up. And I definitely, you know, prefer to use the animal products because I think the nutritional content is going to be more consistent. When it comes to adding produce into the diet, first of all, dogs are not meant to digest cell walls. They don't digest them very well. They don't really have the digestive tract to break those down. So they're not going to be getting optimal nutrition from them. And so much of our commercially grown produce, even if it's grown organically, is grown in depleted soils. It is not, you do not have the nutrient content in produce that that you buy at the grocery store that it should have. If it was grown in a mineral rich soil, if the soil doesn't have these things that we want the plants to have, the plants aren't going to absorb it. And a lot of times they just push the plants for growth by giving them, you know, nitrogen and these elements that will make the plants grow and they look pretty, and you buy them in the grocery store, but they're pretty void of nutrition sometimes. So giving a variety of animal products would be the first place to start. And then, you know, again, verifying the testing and making sure that that's valid. And if the testing is valid and you change the diet, then retest and make sure that those values do indeed come up.
Yeah. And here's the other thing about zinc. There's a lot of different types of zinc. And zinc oxide is one that most manufacturers use when they add zinc to their dog food. And zinc oxide is very difficult for your dog to absorb. However, it's cheap. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Remember we talked about, you know, the ingredients. Then you've got zinc sulfate, also hard on the stomach. You've got zinc methionine, chelated zinc, zinc citrate, picolinate, and glutamate. I mean, there's all these different types of zinc when you look at these forms of zinc. So not all zinc is the same. So I think we do have to be careful when we, like you said, when just one thing is out of whack. And also, when these tests are done, Dr. Jason, these are snapshots of the time. So, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. So my mom, my sweet mom, she said, you know, she's only 76, right? My mom is very young. And she's like cleaning out everything and she's sending me all her medications in case something happens to her. You know, maybe when you get into your 70s, you're looking at, okay, life is short. But I was thinking about this. Doctors, because I was looking at her medication and I was thinking about heart medication. Doctors give this heart medication or high blood pressure is what I wanted to say. High blood pressure medication that I see out there to human beings and they take it forever. And maybe their blood pressure was only high for a certain amount of time. Maybe it's not high anymore, but yet they don't call the patients back in and say, hey, let's take your blood pressure again. And maybe you don't need to be on that anymore. Maybe that was just a snapshot in time. And that really disturbed me because blood pressure medication also causes people to be depressed. So now they go out and they get an antidepressant and an antidepressant causes them to gain weight. So now they go out and get it. I mean, it's just this cascade of crap.
Yep. Vicious cycle. Or I know like with my mom, you know, when she would go into the doctor to get her blood pressure checked, she would worry about her blood pressure. And so her blood pressure was always like 20 points higher at the doctor. And thankfully, at one point, the doctor said, why don't you just get a blood pressure monitor and take it at home and keep a list and then bring that in and tell me. And thank God he did that because every time she went in to the doctor, it was sky high because she was worried about her blood pressure being too high, you know, so the whole white coat effect, you know, so you really, you do have to, you gotta look at you know, big picture and not just micromanage the numbers. And, you know, here's the other thing too, is the recommendations for what a normal blood pressure is conveniently keeps dropping. So, you know, if they say, well, it used to be your systolic blood pressure could be 150. Now we want it at 140. Well, guess what? Now they get to sell a whole bunch more medications. So that type of thing goes on too. They really need to look at what's going on with the person or the pet. And one other comment I had about the nutrition thing and like micromanaging these nutrients and just giving one here and one there because we tested low. You know, a lot of nutrients work synergistically in the body. The things they do, the reason these nutrients are necessary is because they are components in body processes like enzymatic reactions and all sorts of things that are very detailed but very, very precise. But there's nutrients that work together. So if you're testing for zinc and you say you've got a diet that's deficient in zinc and you supplement zinc, well, what if you're also deficient in, you know, manganese and or cobalt or some of these like other trace minerals that you're not testing for, and you're only supplementing for one, you're going to throw those processes out of balance because you're giving more of one and you're still deficient in the others. And then you're not giving the pet the whole food benefit. This is the benefit of feeding the whole food, because the food source that's got zinc probably also has these other trace minerals as well. And they are meant to work together in the body. They work together, they work synergistically. And if you just supplement one, you can actually throw things further out of balance.
Right. I was reading where zinc interacts with copper, iron, calcium, and vitamin A. So if you supplement incorrectly, you can cause imbalances in other nutrients, which is just what you said. And that can lead to adverse reactions in your dog. So I think the takeaway here is, okay, if your dog is testing low in one of these, but has no outward signs like, and I have to go back and list all those different digestive issues. We would have crusty patches, dermatitis, an under-functioning or overactive immune system. So or a thyroid gland, something along that, or major organ failure, seizures, that sort of thing, then I'm not sure that I would mess with that and maybe just look at, is the diet that I'm feeding a rotational diet, has at least three different proteins, has a good amount of organs. And when I say that, I'm talking, you can go up to 15, 20% organs. You know, I feed the PMRs, Dr. JC, to Asta. Well, I feed them all, but in the PMR, so we have 15% organs in there. But I also give Asta, not every day, but I take the 1 pound organs that we have and I put it in a container. So then I add another 10% to that, right, to her food. So she's eating 10 ounces. I give her another ounce of an organ mix, and her poops are fine. Her poops are totally fine. They're not runny at all. And like I said, I don't do that every day, but I do it many times a week. So anyway, I'm just saying that I think that we need to take a look at that. Don't oversupplement. Don't throw the kitchen sink at your dog. Ask questions. Be bold. Grow some balls. You're paying your vet. Ask them the questions, especially the pros and cons. Take some time. Step back. Think about it. Schedule a phone consult with Dr. Judy Jasek. Get you a second opinion. This is something that I think is so important with our pet parents, for our pet parents, because you are a raw feeder. You are a gut specialist. You are a cancer specialist, which makes you look at what is going into the dog's body and how is this dog healthy from the inside out. Not, okay, here's a symptom, take a pill. And this is a very, very different way to practice medicine. And it starts with the food and it starts with the diet. So we hope that you guys will join us on the podcast every week to learn more and more. We hope that you will join us in this cancer lecture that will be given by Dr. Jasek on December 12th, 7 p.m. How do you access it? You can go to my Facebook page. I have it up there. Or you can just email me. I'll give you the link. It's absolutely free. And we would also ask you to invite your vet. Invite your vet to come over and listen to this cancer talk by Dr. Jasek. I think that they might learn a lot, right, Dr. Jasek?
Yeah, absolutely. I think veterinarians that are willing to open their mind to learning something new could learn some things that could really benefit their patients. So I would certainly welcome any veterinary colleagues to join us.
Awesome. And if you want to talk to Dr. Jasek, she does do phone call consults all over the country. Just go to www.cancer-vet.com or Google Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. Okay, Dr. Jasek, go out there, save the world, as you do every day.
I'm doing my best, Dee Dee. I'm doing my best.
One dog at a time. You're awesome. All right, we'll talk to you next week, Dr. Jasek. Thank you.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snaps.